Welcome to Marketing Thought Leadership, the podcast that offers insightful discussions on thought-provoking marketing topics. Here's the host of our show, marketing consultant, speaker, author, and educator, and the president of L2M Associates, Linda Popke.
Hi, this is Linda Popke, and welcome to our latest episode of Marketing Thought Leadership. I'm here today with Michelle Tillis Letterman, who has been named one of Forbes' top 25 networking experts. She's the author of several books, including the internationally known The 11 Laws of Likeability and The Connector's Advantage, which is brand new. She's the founder and CEO of Executive Essentials, which provides customized communication and leadership training and coaching programs. She's a former finance executive and NYU professor, and she's regularly appearing in the media, appearing on all kinds of places that we know about, including NBC, CBS, Fox, CNBC, New York Times, The Wall Street Journal. So welcome, Michelle. Great to have you here.
Thanks for inviting me, Linda.
So I love the title of this, The Connector's Advantage, and I know you and I've read your book, and I know you are the consummate connector. So tell us a little bit about why were you inspired to write this book?
For me, it was the natural follow-up to the 11 Laws of Likeability, where in the initial book, I was talking about relationship networking. And what I really think is that networking is something that we do, but a connector is someone we are. And I wanted to take people to that next level and understand how to think and act and infuse all of these mindsets into their interactions to enable the advantage.
No, that's really, I think that's a critical distinction there. Networking is something you do, but a connector is who you are. So tell me a little bit about, kind of what people make some common mistakes when they think about networking, they think about connecting. What do you see as some of the things that are kind of most often misunderstood about connecting and networking?
Well, networking is a word I can't stand because it has the word work in it. And I think, like, who wants to do something that has the word work in it? But the publisher of my first book said I had to include that word for SEO, and so I added the word relationship networking to it because I don't want people to think of networking as work, and I think that's one of the misnomers and misconceptions out there. Really, networking and connecting should just be another way of saying making friends and being social and curious, which is one of the mindsets. We're always out there connecting. We're always out there networking. It doesn't have to feel like, okay, now I'm going to turn the switch and do this thing called networking. As a connector, it's just infused into the way in which you think.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I hear all the times introverts saying, I can't do this. You know, I'm not good at networking and I just can't be out there. And yet you say that introverts can be really great connectors. So how is someone who's really an introvert, doesn't like the networking process at all, what do you suggest? How do they become a super connector?
Introverts are some of the best connectors out there because they're naturally inclined to some of these mindsets and some of the strengths that enable connection. They're better listeners. They are better in the one-on-one. They tend not to be off-putting and overpowering in conversation. So they really enable that dance, that back and forth to happen, which is really going to create a positive mood memory. So they do all these things really naturally. I think one of the challenges is that introverts tend to think that it has to look a certain way because there's all these big, loud people like me out there, and it doesn't. When I say social and curious, I don't mean a social butterfly or the life of the party. I just mean that you're in places and with people and are curious about learning about them and figuring out what your connection is to them or how you might be able to help them. And that's really all they need to bring to that table.
So really, it's kind of being who you are and being interested in the other person as well. Do you think people are born with this? You said that introverts are more natural at this in the way they think. Am I born with being a good connector, or is that something that I could develop over time?
I think it's a learned behavior. I don't think I understood or really was inclined to a lot of these mindsets in my younger days. So I do believe that it is nurture over nature. We have our own strengths, and it's understanding how to leverage your strengths to enable connection. We we have to be open and accepting of others, but also of ourselves. And that's the first mindset I talk about in the book. When we accept the way in which we exist with our unique charms and all, then we are not judging how we are connecting. We're just enabling connection.
Interesting. Interesting. And you talk about there being a lot of different, like a whole spectrum, so a whole different set of degrees of connecting. It's not you're either on or off. So talk to me a little bit about sort of what's in between there.
And I'm glad you brought it up because that is key. And that's another thing about when you said how does an introvert become a super connector. Well, not everybody needs to be a super connector. There is a lot of levels of connector, and we need to kind of figure out what level you're on and where you want to level up to. So as I said, there's very few non-connectors out there, the people who really are antisocial and don't believe in the value of relationships. Most people are at least emerging. Emerging connectors believe in the value, and they're testing and trying out some of these things, but it's not quite comfortable or natural yet. Then we become a responsive connector. That's somebody who is getting requests to connect and getting requests for assistance, and they're responding to them, but they're not yet initiating. And as we level up, the first thing we can do in shifting our behavior is to initiate more, to initiate reaching out more, to initiate following up, to initiate adding value. The initiation is what starts to bring us up to that level of an acting connector. We can be an acting connector for most of our lives, and that's maybe enough. If we want to take it up the next levels, that's where we start to think about the other level, which is the breadth and depth of our connections. When we go deep in an area, whether it's geographic region or industry or function, that's when we become a niche connector. You might hear somebody say, oh, she knows everybody in town, or she knows everybody in finance, or she knows everybody in blank. And that's the idea of a niche connector. It's like real deep in a certain area. When you start getting a breadth of connections, that's when you move into that super connector realm, because that's when somebody can ask you anything and you will be able to help them really quickly because you know somebody.
You know, we know people like that. We all know people like that, right? No matter what it is, they seem to – they may not know the answer, but they know how to get you to the person who could, right? Those are the super connectors.
Yep. Exactly. And it's so funny because I was on the phone with a guy in the UK. He wanted to interview me for an article. He was reviewing the book, and I got on the phone. I got on Skype. We're chatting. And I, of course, was social and curious and asked him a little bit about himself and what he was working on. And it turns out he was doing something. And I said, do you know so-and-so? And he said, no. I said, well, she did that a few years ago, and she's in the UK as well. I'll put you guys together. So that's a global super connector, when you can go beyond your country's borders.
And just kind of know people and put people together. And what I like about what you're saying is you're not selling anything. You're not doing this for yourself. You're just kind of enabling connections to happen and good things to happen amongst people. And I'm presuming once you continue to do this, that good things will then come back to you.
Yes, but it's not that yes. But I don't want you to think that you don't have a part in that. You can't just think, if I put good things out in the world, things will just come back to me. They do, but you have to know what you want. And so one of the mindsets I talk about is having a clear vision.
Okay.
So to be clear, the connector's advantage is simple. Faster, easier, better. That's what I say. Mm-hmm. Faster, easier, better. Whatever it is you're working on, whatever you're working towards, whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, you're going to get that faster, easier, and often with a better result than you anticipated. But in order to get that advantage, you need to know what your goals are. You need to know what you're working on. You have to have a clear vision. And so actually that's the second mindset I talk about. Connectors know what they want, and they know how to ask for it. And that's key.
So tell us a little bit about, you say there's seven mindsets of connectors, and one of them is they know what they want. And ask for, what are some of the others, if you can share some of those with us?
I think we've touched on three so far. So open and accepting, have a clear vision, believe in abundance, connectors trust, they are social and curious, they are conscientious, and they have a generous spirit.
All good things, all good things. So I need to ask you, because when I coach people, sometimes they say, oh, I don't really know anybody, and I'm just new at this, and if I told you something, it might not be the right person. I think there's a group of people that know more than they think they do, but they're afraid to get out there and maybe give you the wrong answer. Is it possible to go at this and really mess things up, or is that just we're in our own heads and in our own way?
I would have to really think about how you could mess it up. You know, I never want to. I'm sitting there going, I never want to say you never could mess it up because I'm sure it's possible. I don't like to talk in extremes, but I would have to really, really, really think about it because part of what you're doing when you're connecting is you're letting people know that you care. You're letting people know that you're thinking about them. You're letting people know that you want to help. And even if what you are trying to do doesn't end up being fruitful, it doesn't negate the mindset that you're bringing to the table and bringing to the relationship, and that itself is appreciated.
That's, I think, a really key point. It's not, again, it's not the matter that I gave you this connection and some wonderful thing happened to you. It's the fact that I cared enough about you to at least offer some input with the help that, or the hope it would be helpful to you.
Yeah, I put myself out there. I made the effort. I took the time. Whatever it might be, those small little moments have an impact. And that impact is the desire to stay connected. And that's what we do as connectors, so that when you do have your clear vision, when you do need something, that network is there to support you.
So it seems to me that, you know, having this large network of connections, which you do, is a lot of takes a lot of time, right? How do you keep kind of nurturing this network and how do you keep this kind of fresh and authentic and still have time to do everything else you do? Is this kind of overwhelming to some folks? I mean, I know you're a super connector, but what advice could you give us if we're not quite at that stage yet?
Oh, I totally get it. I'm very tired. No. I have a graveyard of business cards on my desk. I call it a graveyard because they just stack up, and I think it's probably over a foot tall at this point if I stack them all on top of each other. I'm, like, looking at the windowsill with all those business cards. So it's not like you can connect with everyone and follow up with everyone at a certain level of frequency. But what I would tell people is to think about the underutilized time in your week. We all have time, and I'm not talking about your downtime because I think downtime is sacred. I'm talking about the underutilized time, that time when you're kind of in food coma after lunch, that you're really not functioning on work, great time to just send some emails or jump on a quick phone call. Commuting time. I like to think about the things that I'm doing anyway and then see if I can double up. So I have done business meetings while walking the dog. I have done them at the gym. I actually met somebody at the dog park and ended up hiring her. There's a lot of ways that we can find underutilized time, but you also can be efficient with your time. So I follow one of Dori Clark, who's one of the experts that contributed to the book. I love her idea of Dori dinners. I call them Dori dinners. She does not. But she pulls together like 16, 20 people that have been wanting to connect with, and instead of just doing 16 to 20 one-on-ones, she brings them all together, and then they all get to network with each other. And she's that common thread, so she's the connector, but she's also keeping up with people.
So I've been to those Dori dinners, and they're wonderful. And you
I love a good Dori dinner.
Never have been connected to. Yes, she's wonderful
at
that.
Yeah, that's fabulous. And so if you want to be the host of a dinner party or a game night or whatever it might be, just look for things that enable you to connect with a lot of people at once. And I'm not talking about those big conferences. I'm talking about keeping up with the connections that you already have. And some of those connections can be virtual. I mean, you and I have known each other for years, but we've never met in person.
No.
But yet,
no.
I feel like I really know you and that we could call upon each other.
Absolutely, because we have been connected in very many ways. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's
so a lot of people feel really uncomfortable at these big traditional networking events, but what I'm hearing you say is that's not a problem. That's not necessarily where we should be putting our effort.
It's certainly not the only place. And I'm not saying – one of the things I always try to tell people is find your networking energy, find your comfort zone, and then just stretch yourself and make yourself a little uncomfortable. I don't want you to make yourself super uncomfortable, but I don't want you to get too comfortable because then we close off doors and we close off avenues. And my feeling is that the more channels we connect with somebody, the deeper, more rooted that connection becomes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting because you mentioned Dori Clark. There are a lot of other names I recognize. Robbie Kelvin Baxter is quoted. There are a number of others. I think Ari Hurry is connected there as well. So you've got examples from all different types of walks of life, and you've got members of your own family. You know, how do you kind of feel that where should we go in terms of looking at where do we start? Do we start with members of our family? Do we start with people we know? Do we you said be a little bit uncomfortable, but should we be reaching out to people that we don't know or we only know kind of peripherally? How can we start to become a better connector?
Okay, so all of the above.
Okay.
One of the things I always say when you don't know where to start by being curious in a conversation. But I think you all have networks. And if you think about, the people who are younger and listening to this or maybe coming right out of school, well, you have your friends and you have the parents of your friends. You have your teachers. You have the places that you interned. So just you have people you went to camp with. I have connected to people I went to camp with on LinkedIn, and it's awesome to see, how do you know so-and-so? It just happened when I got off. I was on a podcast with somebody else, and then somebody from my local town said, how do you know him? I was in a baseball fantasy league with him. So you find all those small world connections, which are so much fun. So I want you to think about the network that you have and then reaching out to that second level of that network. But I also want you to think about the network that you want. Who are people that you're really interested in? When you reach out to them, tell them why. Tell them what it was that inspired you. Make it personal and make it specific, because that makes somebody feel good and that makes somebody say yes. And then you have a chance to extend that connection.
And again, we're networking just to say, I'm curious about you, not to say, I'm curious about you and could you help me? And
right.
I think that's critical too. It's not, there's not an ask in there right away. Is that correct?
One of the things you asked me earlier was some of the mistakes that people make.
Yep.
One of those mistakes is networking for need. And networking for now, right? And a lot of times we just go out there when we need something, when we want something, and we're like, okay, I'm going to go network. When I talk about being a connector, I think about it as a long-term approach to life, people, business. You're building connections because you enjoy those connections. You are keeping connected, not for a specific purpose at a specific time, but knowing that when we give and when we have that mindset of a generous spirit, that it makes it easier and it gives us permission to then ask when we need it. And I feel that those people who are, I didn't give to that person, that's okay. I think it's okay to ask even if you didn't give to that person when you have that generous spirit, because it is understood in your mindset and in your connections that you give when you can and in all the ways that you can.
Absolutely. That makes sense. So let me tell you, because we talked about being connected, you mentioned LinkedIn. LinkedIn I see as being very good for professional networks. Facebook sometimes good for more personal networks. I've reconnected with people I went to high school with and worked with and old jobs and other things. Do you have a kind of a favorite social media for connecting, or does it really depend on who you are and where you want to be?
It always depends. I mean, I do have a favorite. My favorite is LinkedIn.
Okay.
That for me is a really comfortable place, and I think it has adopted some of the best things from the other sites to enable a little bit more of the personalization to come in as well. But I think when you're thinking about social media platforms, you want to think about where are the people you want to connect with. It depends on your industry. Some of the visual industries want to be on Pinterest or Instagram. More women are on Pinterest. Food services, also Pinterest. Facebook, your demographic is a little bit older. It is starting to age up, right? With the Generation Xers and up, it is not really getting the millennials much. There's some on the cusp. So you want to think about who are the people, and I would say pick maybe two or three. You can't do them all. Twitter is great for global connections. I found that I've connected with people in places that I would have never known or never even thought about. And the same thing can happen on LinkedIn as well. I think there's 2,000 platforms out there now.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. I'm sure that number is already outdated. So you really just kind of want to think about where are you already? Where do you enjoy being? I'm trying so hard to figure out Instagram just because my son's on it and I kind of want to be able to spy on him. But, I have some colleagues, I did a podcast and they're constantly tagging me on Instagram, so I have an account, and I'm like, okay, so how do I amplify this? What do I do with this? it's not my platform yet, but I'm open to it.
That makes sense. We're talking with Michelle Tillis-Wetterman about her new book, which is The Connector's Advantage, And before we go any further, because we could talk about this for hours, Michelle, if people want to find out more about your book and the whole connector advantage, where should they go?
Well, I would love for them to check out the book. They can go to theconnectorsadvantage.com, and I have a BOGO, which is buy one, gift one, that gives you some bunch of bonuses and some other free chapters and discounts and things like that, because I think it's a great way to reach out to somebody with a gift. But if they want to find me, I love to connect to listeners. You can just go to my website, which is Michelle, with two L's, Tillis, T-I-L-L-I-S, Letterman, L-E-D-E-R-M-A-N.com. And from there, you can find me on LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter. You can find my YouTube channel. You can find my blog. And I would love to hear from you.
That's fantastic. That's wonderful. So I'm going to ask you one last question before we go. You end the book talking about inclusive connecting. Tell me what that means, because we hear a lot about diversity, inclusion. Tell me what that means and how we should do that moving forward.
Well, if you want to level up, one of the best things you can do is expand and diversify. You want to be connected to different types of people from different areas, from different job functions, from different geographies, demographics. All those things that make us different is what can connect us, because there's always similarities amongst the differences, and that's what we want to look at. And one of the things that I talk about is having a host mindset. Wherever you are, think about if you were the host. How do you make people welcome? And it's a great tool for looking around a room, and you don't have to like be the life of the party, and you don't have to be big and loud, but you can go up to somebody and make them feel welcome.
I love it. And I think that's a great place to stop here, because if we do nothing else, if listeners do nothing else but take that bit of advice, I think they're going to become better connectors and reap the benefits of this. So thank you so much, Michelle. This is always wonderful, always great to connect with you, and appreciate having you on here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, this is Linda Popke. Until next time, thank you for listening to Marketing Thought Leadership.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Marketing Thought Leadership, brought to you by L2M Associates. If you'd like to find out how you can improve the return on your investment in marketing programs, processes, or people, contact us at www.l2massociates.com.